It is indeed a great joy to gather together this day to celebrate all the saints who have gone before us. Those noble Christians whose manner of life provides us with a lens through which we can more clearly see the image of God Himself. Those mere human beings who have lived their lives in such a way in the service of God that we remember them this many years later. Truly, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. This noble fellowship in which we walk now and which we will one day participate in the kingdom of heaven. Seeing all of these banners that our children have brought down the aisle this morning reminds me of the first time I was ever in a Greek Orthodox church. Now, if you're a Westerner, which most of us tend to be, you will find yourself somewhat overwhelmed by the number of icons and images throughout the church. In one sense, it's almost too much to take in at one time. Now, we have so many images here that we use in our worship, but it pales in comparison to the overwhelming number of saints that you physically see when entering an Orthodox church. Now, I remember when I first walked in, I found it rather overwhelming. It was beautiful. Everything was exceedingly well done. But I almost couldn't figure out where to focus. You know, being a Westerner, I grew up in a church with a cross at the front. There was one image. That's the way you looked. And it was that clear. But I thought about how appropriate it was to see these witnesses around. I once heard an Orthodox theologian describe why their churches are adorned in this manner. And the description was something like this. The church building in which we gather is almost some sort of a divine spaceship, his words, not mine, that transports us from this place into the worship of heaven itself. When you enter the church, you see the saints surround you, because when we gather as the church, when we celebrate the Mass, we are participating in no less than the worship of heaven itself. It is appropriate to be reminded of the great cloud of witnesses, for they are with us and we are with them, participating in the one never-ending hymn of worship to Almighty God Himself. This is serious and weighty business indeed. Now that you have entered the church and the doors have been locked, I take as my text the book of Revelation, which unfortunately has gotten a bad rap. You may have seen some movies and some charts and people trying to explain it. And if you see these things, you have my blessing to run the other way, and we will provide you with sanctuary. But properly understood, throughout the history of the church, the book of Revelation is a glorious account of what God is doing behind the scenes of human history and how God will bring everything to perfect consummation. If you, in typical fashion, as is sometimes hard to do with books, want to flip to the end to see how the story is going to go, if you were to read Revelation first, which might be a little trippy for you, you would at least know that whatever else you would read throughout the scripture, God will win in the end. Everything will be set right, suffering will be no more, and the worship of God will never cease. The book of Revelation, far from strange interpretations, is above all else an encouragement to us here on earth. We who must still run our earthly course before we may gather at the great last day into the fellowship of all the saints in heaven. This is good news indeed. And it reminds us that when we gather in this place, we are not gathered solely as this parish, or as a diocese, or even as the Church Catholic. We are gathered as the kingdom of heaven, participating in the great thing to which we look forward. Our reading from today, after we situate it in its context, reminds us of the suffering that one endures that then leads to glory in heaven. The great work of our Lord Jesus Christ cleansing us in His blood, and that we may participate now and fully at the last day in the worship of heaven itself. I'd like to suggest this morning this has incredible implications for who we are here and now in this place. It also gives us hope and peace for those whom we love but no longer see, who we will remember next week. And it reminds us of the direction in which we are headed, that though we go through the changes and chances of this life, we are headed to a day where suffering will no longer be known, where nothing but the glory of God will be experienced. And all we will have to do is participate in the glorious kingdom of our Lord, to worship God, and to enjoy the fellowship of the holy saints. Right before we come to the portion of the text we have heard today, we are reminded of the old and new covenant, saints being sealed, Israel being reconciled to God, and the kingdom coming in. And here, even in our text, we talk about those who have come out of the great tribulation, those who have gone through the great ordeal, the great suffering, who are now at peace. Throughout the scriptures, and it is no different here, we do not get to talk about glory without first talking about suffering. We do not talk about consummation before we talk about our trial. The saints who have gone before us were tested. Were tested in this earthly life and found to be true followers of our Lord. They attained to glory only after they suffered. And the same is true for us as well. Even though we participate in the worship of the kingdom of heaven, we know that on this side of things, we are part of the kingdom of heaven that was inaugurated at the cross, but still in some way needs to be consummated when our Lord comes again. We participate in something to an extent now while expecting what God will do fully at the end of history. This is indeed a great encouragement. I don't know about you, but it is a blessing to me to know that I am supposed to suffer. Because whether we know this or not, we will suffer. We will go through difficulties in life. We will lose those whom we love. We will see many trials. But after tribulation comes the glory. After the testing comes the consummation. After a life well lived in this earth comes everlasting bliss and peace. Truly, this changes how we live our lives now, how we understand what it is that we are doing. Because we are not people who are waiting for the kingdom of heaven, though we long for its consummation. We are citizens of heaven now, in this place, in this time. When we face trials of many kinds, we face them knowing that this earth is not our final home. We face them knowing that it is good and right and proper to be a bit uneasy in this place, because there is glory yet to be revealed. The saints who have gone before us suffered, were found faithful, and now praise God continually around his throne. And this affects our entire lives, every aspect of our being, knowing that though we suffer now, the day is coming where there will be no more suffering. There will be no more goodbyes to those whom we love. There will be no more stress. There will be no more difficulty. But we have a race to run until then. These who came through the great tribulation, these saints who were washed in the blood of the Lamb, are images of holy and virtuous living to be sure, but our text reminds us that they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Even the greatest saints who have gone before us worship God now not because of their merit, but because of God's good love to us in Jesus Christ and his redeeming work upon the cross. Those who have found their fulfillment did so through the merits of Christ alone. And we do well to follow them in all virtuous and godly living, while also acknowledging that any merit we have, any reason we have to stand before God, is not our own, but a gift of God in Christ. Knowing this kingdom of which we are a part, and the thing for which we are waiting, changes our entire lives. It is this kingdom that causes us to let go of those whom we love and die, because we know where it is that they are headed, and we know that we shall join them again. It is the great consummation that will come, but it is part of our citizenship in heaven even now. This affects how it is that we worship. When we receive the body of our Lord, the bread of heaven itself, Christ is not only called down to this place, we are lifted up into heaven. When we join together in worship here, we participate in the great glorious worship of heaven that is taking place continually. They are not two separate things. Isn't this amazing to think that we worship, every time we worship God, with those who have gone before us? We feast at the same table, though they feast in the consummated nearer presence, and we know that we will be joined together with them. The worship we do here is not just our own thing. It is not just part of the Church Catholic. It is part of the worship of heaven itself. Here is the gathered body. We experience heaven on earth as we wait for our final consummation. We know that when the kingdom of God is consummated, that when everything is set right, there will be no more suffering, there will be no more longing. That thing for which we long will have been consummated, and we will be at peace forevermore. God will wipe away every tear. The body of Christ will be perfect as we will all be gathered together. This is something worth living now as we wait for it to be consummated in its totality. For we celebrate this day the saints who have gone before us, not even because of who they were, but because of who God was revealed to be in their lives. We celebrate the saints because of their virtue, which was a gift of Christ himself. And we seek to follow them here on earth, going towards that day, longing for the day when we too will add our voices to that noble chorus. Salvation belongs to our God who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.